have it. We've got it. Hallelujah. It's yours tonight. The victory belongs to you. Hallelujah. Christ died that you might be free of sin and demons and all these things that trouble you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the victory. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm not the victim. I'm the victor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. We have the victory. Hallelujah. I'm not shouting about getting it. I'm shouting about I got it. Hallelujah. So much was the old song that says, I can't explain it, but I got it. You can't explain what God does. You can't explain how a man killed a giant with a rag and a rock. You can't explain how the walls of Jericho came tumbling. You can't explain how a voice came out of a burning fire and it was not consumed. I can't explain it, but I got it. And the only way you're going to know what I got is get it. When you get it, you'll understand. But until you get it, you don't understand. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank God. All this started in that prayer room back there. Thank you so much for you that comes early on Tuesday nights to pray. Wonderful Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know what God does in a flash will take years for you to live out. Moses said, show me your glory. He just got a glimpse of God's goodness. He couldn't get over it. His face just wouldn't. He wasn't the same. When God does a work, 3.5 years the man walked on earth. We're still talking about it today. When God does a work, and he what I preach tonight, when God reveals something to you, it's not like this slow. It's like that. Whenever I get something from God, it's like that. And then it's there. And I got to work on it, but the revelation is there. And when God does a work, it's so quick. He said, I got a quick work. He said that. I got a quick work I want to do you. He said, knowing the time, let's redeem the time. How are you going to do that with a quick work? Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Hallelujah. Blessed are your ears tonight, not because you're going to hear me, but because you're going to hear something I think you've never heard before. If it's been preached, I don't know it. So I'll be like I'm just preaching it for the first time for myself and to you. Matthew 17 and 1, and bear with me tonight. As I hope I can be timely in 30 minutes. This is a Bible study we're doing tonight. Matthew 17 and 1 says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Three. Peter, James, John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart. He's left a crowd down at the bottom. He took some up some distance, and he took three more with him. Ooh, this is going to be good. And was transfigured before the three. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him two more. Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. We got six on the mountain. Then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Wow, wonderful. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. I want to teach to you tonight the Trinity you never knew. The Trinity you never knew. Lord, I come before you tonight so thankful. Hallelujah, that we serve a God that we can feel. Hallelujah. It is a quickening spirit. I'm glad that you feel the infirmities of your people. And you know and you understand because you walked in our shoes. Thank you for doing that. And gave your life that we might have a better life in this life and the life to come. Be with us, guide us tonight as we study your word about the Trinity we never knew. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. I was telling my wife driving up here, we listened to a song about walk in the light, the beautiful light, you know, come where the dew drops. And you just, you know, it's the Gaither band singing, but it's the words and it's just, it's like, I told her you could sing about any other name and it'd never do the same. You could sing about anybody else or anything else, there's no feeling
like when you sing about Jesus. That's a feeling. You know there's a God simply because when you sing about that, there's no feeling like that. In this Christian world, most religious people or religions, they are based upon a Trinitarian doctrine. And I'm going to stay close to my script here tonight because I don't want to miss anything. They're based upon a Trinitarian doctrine of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, claiming to be a holy Trinity. However, when you look up the word Trinity, because obviously this goes by language. When you look up the word Trinity in any dictionary, you will find that it says that the Trinity is an expression of the unity of God in three distinct persons. P-E-R. There is nothing a person but a people. Come on. There's no person but a people. So there's not three people. Now, I know they're wanting to say three personifications. This is not a biblical doctrine. It's a man-made doctrine, which I understand exactly what they're wanting to say, but they need to reword what they say and how they say it. Because they say it is three co-equal, co-eternal, coexistent powers. And this is not a biblical doctrine, but basically a man-made doctrine as an interpretation of the manifestations of God. And I do believe that God, as a father, had a son which had flesh, and he sent back the Holy Ghost. So as a fallen man, there was God as a father, a son, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That I understand, but the word Trinity, I want to show you, this is a very flawed doctrine in this regard. From the very beginning, the doctrine was flawed because there are not three persons. The very beginning will tell you there are not three persons. There was one person. And his name was Jesus. And the Bible says that Christ is not divided. So he's not divided into two others. Even Paul said that. Is Christ divided? He's not. And so the other two that they refer to as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost are identical spirits. They are identical. So that when you read the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, it is the Father that overshadowed Mary, which is the God that overshadowed Mary, which is the Spirit that overshadowed Mary. They're identical. The Holy Ghost you only find in the New Testament because ghost represents as a designation of the spirit of a departed one. You don't read Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. It's always called, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. The Holy Ghost didn't come upon him, but the apostle said, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Same Spirit. But one designates the after the death of Christ, and the other one is simply it's all the Spirit of Christ. So those are one. Okay. And so again, when you look at the word Trinity, it comes from a Latin word which means triad or trifold. And a triad, listen close, is a group of three at the same time. And a threefold thing are three things that come together at the same time. You can't have a threefold card and two things in it. They must appear at the same time. Or it's not threefold. It can't be. By definition, Trinity means three. That's what it means. So the key word Trinity is three at the same time. And we all believe that God is the everlasting. He's everlasting to everlasting. He was from beginning to end, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and last. We believe all of that. And we all believe that Christ was born of a virgin woman named Mary and that the Holy Ghost, Matthew says that, overshadowed Mary. She conceived and brought forth a son, which was called the Son of God. He was the flesh. He was the Word made flesh. Anybody see my words? You can't see my words. You hear my words. So where did the Holy Ghost come from that overshadowed Mary? It is easily understood that the Holy Ghost is simply the Spirit of God that the writer like Matthew knows now in the New Testament. It's the same thing. He understands it. That's why he says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and not just the Spirit of God. He understands, same thing, no difference. But the Holy Ghost was only used in the New Testament, and the Spirit of God was used in the Old Testament. And sometimes they said Holy Spirit. And I believe that, as the Scripture says, Christ was hid in God from the beginning foundation of the world. He was hid. He could not be seen. He was hid in God from the foundation of the earth. But to be a Trinity, they must all appear at the same time, or it's not a Trinity. I mean, by definition, come on, if it's a Trinity, the book says, Webster says, they got to all appear at the same time. It's not a Trinity without that. It's a triune. Okay. You see? So we got a river. You cross over here going to Deaver, Texas, and it's called the what river? Yes, the Trinity River. And it's where three separate rivers come together into one river. I don't see the three rivers. I see one river. And this Trinity River is called that Trinity River because up above, just like up above, there come three down. The Word, the flesh, you know, the Word was made flesh. There are three that bear record in heaven and three that were seen on earth. And so, and John, we don't have time to get into that, but John wrote that. But when the Trinity River comes together, it is a triune. The word triune means three unified. It's three unified. A Trinity is three separate things showing up together at the same time. But a triune is three things unified. That's why it's triune. So the Holy Trinity that you've heard for all these years is actually not a Trinity at all. Because no man has seen the Father. So there's always been just one God. As Moses said, "Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." And one God took on one flesh, okay, and called his name Jesus to save his people from their sins. Jesus, now listen close, was simply God tabernacled in flesh. It's important you understand what I'm telling you. He's tabernacled in flesh. So the real Trinity that you never knew, the day Moses, Elijah, and Jesus came together on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And I want to teach you tonight about the Trinity you never knew. I want to read again Matthew 17 and 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh three, a Trinity. He took three with him, Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them to a high mountain apart, away from the rest of them, and was transfigured. Christ was transfigured before these three. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, there's three Gospels that record this. John is the only one that doesn't. We don't have time to bounce back and forth, but I'll make mention of some of it. Do you remember someone else's whose face shined in the Old Testament? Yeah, he's on that mountain. Yeah, he happened to show up. So the one whose face did shine now, like Christ's face, he's shining again. They all three look alike, and they all three showed up at the same time. That's a Trinity right there. That's a Trinity. You can see them all at the same time. And so Moses was in the time of the law. And so Jesus was transfigured, meaning that he was changed. He changed forms to be like the other two patriarchs that had gone on. So that now they're three equal looking and had an equal part in your salvation. The law, the prophets, and grace. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So here's the real Trinity. This is a triad of three separate men in the same form talking together as a threefold card that cannot be broken. And so in this meeting, each man has a part in the ultimate salvation of fallen man. And they each come together on this mountain to bring the ultimate salvation to man. They are unified. They become unified in their goal of saving lost man, that the law and the prophets will come into grace. Moses represents a figure of the law of God and a way of salvation. Elijah represents the prophets, which was the word of God, which was to restore salvation to Israel, which had broken the laws of God. Jesus represented the word of God and was made flesh, according to John chapter 1, and was the Son of God, reconciling the world unto himself. So that Jesus represented the grace of God that brought man from the law of God through the restoration of the word of God into the grace of God. They're all three there. This is the real Trinity. Jesus represents the one door that leads to heaven. And on this mountain of transfiguration, we see now a bright cloud. Read it in one of the other gospels. This is that pillar of cloud that comes from heaven, and it lights their face up. But not only their face, but their clothes. So that they are so transformed, they're in a heavenly form. They are completely transformed. But not as Moses, who met God on the mountain in a dark cloud, whose face shined for only a little while, and then darkness took back over. But through the darkness, God would show himself to Moses, and his face would light up. And when his face would light up, guess what? People ran from the light, just as they ran from Christ. So that Moses had to put a veil over his face and go back into darkness so that he could speak to them. So the law came out of a dark cloud, which brought in condemnation. The law, thou shalt not. But grace came in a bright cloud and brought reconciliation. So the light that overshadowed in the darkness was the law and the prophets, and it lit up. When grace came, it lit them up. So bright was grace that Moses' face didn't matter anymore. The law, it said, was excellent. It was great. It was a light in that time, but when the light of the glorious gospel came, it was so far past, Hebrews said, that it was nothing. So when we read in Romans, and I'm coming back to this, so don't lose your place or your thought. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them which are under the law. And every mouth may be stopped, and all of the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now in the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which was seen by faith in that third one, Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is, this is good stuff. There is no difference. They were saved under the law like you're saved under grace. They were saved by the prophets just like you're saved under grace. But they without us were not made whole, not made perfect, the Bible says. So in the Trinity that you never knew, we find the triune figure, if you will, that comes together in grace through Christ Jesus our Lord, through the law and the prophets. Not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but the law and the prophets and grace meet together on this mountain. And so Moses was the only man, now listen close, Moses was the only man that we know God buried. What you're going to see here on this mountain is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here on this mountain. Because we're all going to come together. We're all going to be collected back into Christ. You understand that? I don't care if it's Abraham, Adam, we're all coming back into Christ. So Moses was the only man that we have a record that was buried by the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord buried him. So Moses was buried in God. Moses saw death, which represents all of the former saints that died in the law are in God. The ones that are in the grave before grace came. Elijah died not, never died, but he was translated from this life to another life to come, and the Bible says he never saw death, like Enoch, never saw death. He went from mortal to immortal. Yes, his flesh died, but it was just like that. He was changed. Elijah, not like Moses, who was died in God, Elijah was caught up to meet him in the air. So we see the resurrection of the saints right here, so that, this is good stuff, so that we see the resurrection of saints, them that were dead in Christ and them that are alive in Christ will be caught up to meet him in the air. So right here we have the triune, the unification of all the saints that died in Christ, and we have the Spirit of God that never died, and we have us that are alive and yet remain. So Elijah represents all of those that are alive and yet remain, like us at the coming of Christ, we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. I hope I'm here. If I die, I want to die in Christ. And the Bible says they will come out first. And we behind them. So back to Mark, because this is going to tie all in together. Back to Mark 17:4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles. Did I not tell you Christ was tabernacled? God was tabernacled in flesh? One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now remember, Peter is the one that has the keys of the kingdom, and while he sees what's going on, he doesn't really understand it. And the timing of this event, just so you'll know, is at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And most people believe that's why he said, well, we're having the feast. It was the Feast of the Booth, which represented the children of Israel going through the wilderness. They'd make these little temporary dwellings because they were moving all the time. So they just, and they still do it today. Some of the Jews still do it today. They have this, they'll go out and get a field and they'll get in a tent and have this Feast of the Booth. Well, this was the time it was going on. So he said, oh, while we're doing it, let's make 3 tabernacles. One for the law. One for the prophets, and one for grace. One for you. And so, he's wanting to make 3 separate, co-equal tabernacles. But, verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, this bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, oh no, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's time to hear ye him. It's time to hear him. Moses had his time, and we said, hear him. The prophets had their time, and we said, hear them. But now it's my time. It's my Son's time. Hear ye him. And this voice was letting Peter know, we're going no further with this because I'm bringing them all into him. I'm bringing them all into him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, thank God for that touch, and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. They were brought in to him. Because he was the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets. They saw, save Jesus only. And I tell you this way, only Jesus saves. The law reigned, the Bible says, from Adam to Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Brother Valentine, was the fulfillment of the law. He said, I didn't do away with it. It came into me. I didn't take away. The prophets came into me. Did not Moses speak of me? He fulfilled all of this. So it all these, the law and the prophets, it became the triune. They all came into unity, into one. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Okay? Well, guess what? Peter tells the story again in his second epistle. Let's read it again with what seeds I put in your mind. We're going to read what Peter is now writing to the church, because he couldn't say anything till after the resurrection of Christ, and now he understands it. Okay? 2 Peter 1 and 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this. Yeah, as long as I'm still here in this tabernacle, to stir up you by putting you in remembrance. That's got something I want you to remember. Because now I can tell you what I couldn't tell you before. And now I understand what I didn't understand before. And now I know more about the resurrection than I did before. I know more about the coming of Christ than I did before. So I want you to know this. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Where did he show me? He showed me on this mountain that there's not but one tabernacle. And we're all going to be brought into him. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables. I saw a vision. This ain't no hocus pocus. I was there. Watch. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I learned about the coming of Christ on that mountain. I learned the dead in Christ are going to rise. I learned we're all going to be tabernacled with God. And now I can tell everybody what I understand that I didn't understand there. I thought we were going to make a trinity. I thought we were going to have three things. It ain't but one. Are you still with me, church? And this voice which came from heaven we heard. And we were with him in the holy mount. See, he's telling this story again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. I know it better now. As unto the light that shineth into the law, into the prophets, into a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is for any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It all come together to me on that mountain. And I realized it was all about God and one man, the mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. Can I go a little bit deeper? Okay. This is the Trinity that we never knew. The Trinity, it really comes together when the law and the prophets come into the grace of God. And it becomes a triune form of salvation where the law and the prophets were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Jesus said that the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. And since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses his way into it until the day star rises in your heart. So when we read a little further in Matthew 17 and 10, reading just a little further than I've already read, and his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribe that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come. And restore. See, the prophecies were to restore. The law was given, thou shalt not. But prophecy came to restore Israel because they had gotten away from the laws of God. He must first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, Elias has come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. The law and the prophets were until the preaching of John. And John was that transitional piece of the Old and the New Testament, ushering in, forerunner, if you will, the precursor of grace. But yet, died under the law. But there's not arisen any among men that's greater than John, not of any of the prophets, not of even of Elias. But he that is in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when they were come to the multitude, they come down off the mountain, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, tell me the law. Lord, what did the prophets say? No, he's looking to the one that has mercy. Jesus doesn't say to the man, have you obeyed the law? Do you remember what Elijah said about me? And he doesn't do any of that because he is all of it. And he knows a man's heart without even giving you a law. And even if you kept the law, he knows whether your heart really kept it or you just kept it. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him unto your disciples and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, he rebuked him. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And we know that the Lord heals the man and the unclean spirits goes out. And it tears him on the way out. That's a whole other subject I've gotten some notes on. On his way out, he tears him. Another place Jesus found the devil, he said, hold thy peace. And he came out and tore him not. It matters how you leave somebody. You leave this church, leave right, and I welcome you back. You leave wrong, I don't welcome you back. It matters how you leave your job. It matters how you leave everything. I don't care if it's a divorce. It matters how you leave. The devil always leaves things in destruction and torments that I never loved you anyway. Glad you're gone. That's not right. You leave right. I don't care what it is. So when they couldn't do it, he said, howbeit these kind goeth out not by prayer and fasting. They had done none of that. While the bridegroom was there, they weren't praying, they weren't fasting, they weren't doing any of that. And can I tell you this? The law didn't teach it. Tell me the law that says pray. Where do you see thou shalt pray? Thou shalt fast 3 times a day. You don't see it. You don't see it. So he didn't rebuke them for not praying, did he? He said, oh, faithless generation. He rebuked them for not having faith in his mercy and in his ability to resurrect this person. Mercy was coming down off the mountain. He had the law. He had the prophets. And up there, he was with them in some transfigured being. But when he came down, he was Mary's boy and God's son. And he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Get out of that boy. Pew! And out he went. And so the law did not teach us to pray. But Jesus told them the time will come when the Pharisees criticized them, your disciples don't pray. He said, the time will come, they will. In the Old Testament, when they prayed generally, only about David, you'll read about David was a really good New Testament figure. He prayed unto God. The others prayed unto people. I pray thee, whoever they were talking to, do this, do that. I pray thee. And they were praying to men. But David prayed to God. And so it is, we pray to God and not to men. The law did not teach him to pray. It did not teach him to fast. It taught them to obey. And as they come tonight, I'll close with this. There is a difference between a sinner and a saint that sins. I got to close with this tonight. Because I'm talking about the Trinity that you never knew, that comes into a merciful God. So many people quit church because they feel like they can't get it right. Last time I checked, a sinner does what? Sins. A sinner sins. But the last time I read, I never read a scripture that says saints don't sin. I've never read a scripture that says saints don't sin. But I have read scriptures that said, if you sin, little children, you have an advocate with the Father. So that lets me know we have sinners and we have sinning saints. Saints that sin. And so, sinners only want to sin. See, people can become saints and not be godly. They're still carnal. They're carnal saints because we still have flesh and we still have spirit. And so when you look at the word carnivore, they eat what? They enjoy the flesh. That's why they're carnival. And that's why people are carnal. The word carnal comes from meaning people that enjoy the flesh. So that too many times people listen to their flesh over their spirit because they want to enjoy the flesh. And it's always contrary to the spirit, right? But if I, brother, you come, brother Valentine, come, and brother George, come. Show you something. I want to show you something. Show you something you'll never forget. Brother, turn around this way. I want you to be the pig.
How is that?
Because you're a sinner.
Okay.
You're a sinner.
So should I?
You will, shortly. So you're the pig and you're the sinner. And dear old brother Valentine, you're the saint, but you're sinning. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
But you're a saint. Okay. Now, if a pig falls in the mud, go ahead, fall in the mud. Fall in the mud. What does he do? What does a pig do when he falls in the mud?
Walling around him.
Yeah. You're smiling too. That he does what? He does it because he likes it. Stand up. The pig is the sinner, and he falls in the mud. He wallers in it. I love this. And he does it again and again and again. But my sinning saint falls in the same hole. But he's a sheep. And what does the sheep do when he falls in the mud? He calls for help because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. We've all, if you like it, you're a sinner. If you don't like it, you're still a saint. You just need forgiveness. It's the difference in the change of nature that when you come to Christ and you become a saint of Christ, you are a sheep unto Him. But we still deal with the flesh. But every time I fall into sin, I feel bad. I feel terrible. I don't want to be in the mud. But the sinner doesn't care because he's carnal and he enjoys that. Thank you, brothers. But my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger will not pull them out of the mud. A stranger they will not follow. Hallelujah. I hope I helped you tonight to understand that God is Christ, God, Holy Ghost is all one, always been one. The real Trinity is the law and the prophets and Christ that showed up on that mountain. And they came together in grace. So that when Christ came down off the mountain, he was pulling them out of the mud. How come your disciples couldn't do that, oh faithless generation? They just don't believe me enough. But I'll keep showing them. Because Peter had the keys to the kingdom, you see. And after a while, he started pulling them out of the mud. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm glad I'm not perfect. I don't know about you. Because you get perfect, you'll be high and lifted up in yourself. You'll be boasting for long and you'll be lost over that. Hallelujah. God bless you. Stand tonight. I've taken a little bit more time than I wanted to, but thank God for the unity that we find in your spirit. You are the door, God. Beside you, there's no other. Thief and a robber are going to climb up some other way, but he's not going to get in. Hallelujah.